So, Hare Krishna.
Jaya Narottama Bhava Punyami
Hare Krishna,
So, Hare Krishna, this, I want to greet all of you, wish you a wonderful good morning. This is your second full day of your Kirtan course, and it is also, I think, for the Radhadish community, the second day where they will think more about their relationship to the holy name. So, the class, as yesterday, is really focused on we will read today a verse from the second canto, chapter 3, text number 24. There's some very, very important subjects are revealed. Please, let's chant the prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Certainly, that heart is steel framed around it, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. Heart does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. I will read to you from the second paragraph of Srila Prabhupada's verse. The whole process of spiritual kalshat is aimed at standing in the center of the attention of everyone around you. I made a gross mistake. You saw it, you read it.
I read
it. Yes. I'm totally sorry, Prabhu. I read to you something which is demoniac, but you didn't even notice. You need to pay attention. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as a subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, the whole process of what we do is to bring us to the point that the Lord is in the center and we are not in the center. We are serving Him. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. The Prabhupada says the transformation of the heart is visible by two things. One becomes more detached from the sense of enjoying the material world, and the second thing is one develops more and more an attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, and the legs, as already explained herein before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, they will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes, standing of the hairs on the body. These are the natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, or love of God. If the reaction does not change place, the heart is not really transformed, and you lose your detachment gradually from the world, and you cannot see that there is more desire for you in your heart to render actually service to the Krishna. If this doesn't take place after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. It's a beautiful purpose. Prabhupada spends a lot of the rest of the purpose in explaining that yes, there are these symptoms of devotional ecstasy, but the verses is, if you make a show of them, like sometimes we have devotees when they're scared and they like to stand to the front and show the symptoms of ecstasy to the whole community, that is very bad for your spiritual advancement if you do such things. So, or in India you find, you find a lot of this showmanship of spiritual things. And you can find that people really start to roll on the ground. Like in some of the temples, we needed to get security because it became so bad, especially in Bengal, but also in Delhi. People came and just jumped before everyone and started to make a show of their private devotional feelings in public. And we needed to bring security to bring these people. Please stand at the end. Just normally your kirtan. This is a very, very important subject. So Prabhupada speaks at the end of the purpose about not showing these symptoms of ecstasy as a false show. But in this purpose, or in this lecture, I would like to concentrate on the first part of Srila Prabhupada's purpose. That is, that as you engage in devotion service, it is very important that there is some transformation happening in your life. It's very the goal, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as a subordinate servant. I wanted to give you a philosophical lecture this morning, but I see some of you look tired, so I will do something else. I will try to touch your heart. My dear devotees, we are on this process of devotion and service, and ultimately what we wish to attain as a transformation of the heart is an intense eagerness in our heart for Krishna. So often our life is a life without this eagerness. We are just doing mechanically our devotional activities, and as a result we stay on the surface of devotional life. We are not really making substantial advancement, but quite the opposite is true. We become hard-hearted and not deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna doesn't like that when his devotees live a half-life and not a full devotional life. There's a story which I heard when I was making my pilgrimage to Bajrinath, the sacred Dham where Lord Narayan is present in this world. A story told about an old man who was very, very old. He, in a way, he didn't have many more months to live. So it was his desire to make one last pilgrimage before he would give up his body and see Lord Bajrinath. Now you must know one thing, I forgot to tell you, that this temple of Bajrinath is only open for 6 months. The later 6 months of the year, that means the cold 6 months, the temple is closed because it is high up in the Himalayan mountains. It's really high, and there's snow and ice, and most of the residents who live there, including the priest as far as I know, leave during these 6 months the holy town of Bajrinath and go down where it is more warm. So when the temple is closed, I believe it happens in October sometimes, that the Pujari, he's called the Rahal, the main priest, he will have a key and he will lock the temple gate, and once it's closed, it's not open before another 6 months has come. So this old man knew about it, and he tried his best to reach the temple of the Lord before it was closed. But as he was climbing the mountain, There was no bus at that time available. As he was going the pilgrimage path and going higher and higher, his strength became lower and lower and lower. He really lost his strength. And finally, he could only come, move forward on all his fours. He was on his knees, moving like this. So the other pilgrims came down to Bhadrinath and said, "Oh man, you really have to hurry. The time that the temple closes for 6 months is coming very close." But no single pilgrim got the idea to help the old man. Ram was desperate. His life was coming to the end. Here he was, trying to have the darshan of the Lord. But his time was running out. Finally, after trying really his best, he came to the steps of the Bhadrinath temple. And he heard the bells and of the arati, and he felt very relieved. But little did he know, it was the last arati. And as he climbed more and more on the steps, it became clear to him he wouldn't make it. And when he was at the final step of the temple, the sound stopped, and the rabbi, the priest, came out and closed the big doors. The old man said, "My dear priest, I came such a long way just to have one darshan, but now you're closing the door. You can see I'm so old, I will not live for another 6 months. This is my last chance. Just kindly open the doors again. Let me go into the temple, see Lord Narayan." But the rabbi said, "This is the system here. This was the last arati. We cannot change our system because of you." The old man was so desperate. He just took his hands and just grasped the feet of the priest and said, "Please, please, please, please." But the priest was in a hurry. He had to do so many other things to close the door. He quickly loosened the embrace of the man and just ran to do his duty. And the man felt so extremely distressed that he fainted and rolled down the steps of the temple. Just imagine, you are in the process of dying here in Radhadesh, and you have somehow made an effort to come to Radha Gopinath to have your last darshan. But just when you made it and entered the door of the temple, the priest said, "Sorry, we have to close the temple." And you know you will not live after that die, you will not live until the next morning. How do you feel? You feel desperate. The old man just fell down the stairs. And when he finally came back to consciousness, it was night, and he could only see the stars above him. The old man cried and said, "Oh Lord, I tried to serve you my whole life, but you have not given me darshan. I don't think you care for me." And he said, "Oh Vaishnavas, I heard you are merciful, but when I came to take my last darshan, then you just stepped over me and I fainted and I rolled down the stairs. I don't believe in you, Lord. I don't believe that the Vaishnavas are merciful. Let now Mother Ganga be my only shelter." You know what he said? This means He wanted to now go down to the Ganga and drown himself. So he got up with the strength. He was moving a little bit like our Pujariji, a very difficult movement he had. He got down to the Ganga to jump into the Ganga. At this moment he heard a voice of a young man. "Hey, old Brahmana, what do you think you are doing?" Brahmana looked around, saw a beautiful young man. He was Bhotia, a man of the Himalayas. You know, he was dressed like a Himalayan resident. He had his horse there. And he again said, "What are you doing?" "I'm ending my life in the Ganga." "Why?" said the young man. "Because I will not be able to have darshan of the Lord." "Who said?" said the young man. "Tomorrow morning is darshan time." "What?" said the old Brahmin. "But the priest told me he closes the temple now for 6 months. You are not good in hearing. It's not yet the time. You just come with me. I know of a cave here which is very warm, and then we spend the night playing chess. And in the morning you take your bath in the Ganga, and then are in the hot springs, and then we have the opportunity to take darshan." "Wow," said the Brahmana, "are you sure?" "I'm from here, can't you see?" "I know. I myself will take you to Lord Narayan. I'm very strong, newly built. I will do like this." So the Brahmana got some hope. He went with that boy into the cave. And although he never liked to play chess, the boy was just so charming and looked so affectionate, and he thought, "After all, he brings me to Lord Narayan, maybe I do him a favor." You know, it's like if Manu invites us for football, we will say, "I usually don't play football, but Manu, you are such a nice servant of Radha Gopinath. If it's your invitation, I will play football and die." So he was also playing chess. The strange thing is, he won. Then after no time, he said, "Now it's morning. Do you hear the bells in the temple? They're doing the puja to wake up the Lord. Now you take your bath in the hot springs, and I will be there, and I will help you to climb the steps of the temple." So the morning sun was rising, the old man finished his bath, and there was a young Himalaya man who helped him up the steps. At the last step, they saw the rabbi, the priest. He's a Namutri Brahmin from South India. And he said, "Oh, old man, I'm happy to see you. How did you spend the last 6 months? I was worried when I closed the temple and you said it's your last chance. You feel you will not live." Brahmana said, "What, the last 6 months? I just spent a night in the cave. It was this one night. I can see your little memories." No, I was with this Himalayan man. And then he turned around to look at the young man, but the young man was gone. He was not there. Then the Brahmin understood. When he had called out, "Oh Lord, I'm the end of my life, I try to serve you, but it seems you don't care. Then the Lord, feeling moved by his devotion, appeared before him. He saved him from committing suicide in the Ganga, and he brought him to a cave where it was warm and hospitable. And the Lord, who likes to play chess, he hears from Krishna's book, he's somehow fond of this game. He even plays in Vrindavan with Radharani, and there he usually loses. But in normal cases, the Lord wins. Why? Because the things which you use for chess are on his side. They are partial to him and his winning. So he realized it was the Lord who had personally come to me and helped me so that I could come to the to take his darshan. And crying and crying and crying, he went inside the temple. He had the darshan of the Lord Narayan there in the temple, and he left his body on that day. The Lord had only maintained his life for another 6 months so that he could have his darshan. My dear devotees, for me, as someone who tries to be a devotee of Lord Krishna, this is a very telling pastime, a very telling bhakti story, because it tells us a little bit of the transformation of the heart. You have to learn somehow or other to become a little bit eager when you chant. You know, when we do our kirtans, and you sit down and do kirtans, there is what Prabhupada calls nirbija and sabija. Nirbija means lifeless, and life is actually a term relating to yoga. Nirbija yoga and sabija yoga. Our bhakti yoga and our chanting of kirtan can be either full of life, that is full of feelings of genuine bhakti, or it can be with a sabija kirtan, or it could be nirbija kirtan, that is without any life, without any eagerness, without any desire. Just we are just somehow there, and we are happy when finally the Jai Prabhupada comes and we are saved from our distaste for kirtan. We can do something else. I have seen this. Kirtan often asked to lead kirtans with many exalted Vaishnavas. And I'm sometimes chanting for 1.5 hours. And after half an hour, I start watching the clock. Oh no, another hour. How will I manage another hour? And then I look after half an hour again, and it's only 1 minute which has passed. Then I look again after half an hour, and an extra minute has passed. The time seems to move in a totally, like on the heavenly planets, you know, very slow. I'm crying out, and it's really very, and then I say, come on, Vaishnava Swami, you and I have a responsible situation. You are a nonsense devotee, you know this, but now you have to serve the Vaishnavas. They came here. So now you forget the time, and now you just chant for Krishna, and as a result of chant, and you just somehow try to give him pleasure. And then, when we do like this, anyone can experience this. then the time flies and we think, fuck, that just changed 2 minutes, but now already 1 hour has passed. What has happened? The subjective realization of time is like this. When you perform your spiritual activity without life, it doesn't seem to pass. When you have life and devotion, the time seems to run by. You don't know what happened. This is an experience which is there. The time is a subjective perception of time which happens. You can see that in your own devotional life. So I was talking about this to you because today's morning class is about coming to real chanting, which is substantial chanting, as opposed to shadow chanting, that is chanting without any life. There is a science about this, which I would love to explain. Are you interested in the science?
Yes.
Why?
We need it.
We need it. Okay. So you will be listening?
Yes.
My dear devotees, there is Nama Balasa Chant. There are three types of chanting. Nama Balasa, when you do offenses. Nama Balasa, when you're trying to avoid the offenses, but you're not always successful. And then there is Shodha Nama. That is when you're free from all offenses and you chant the affection, the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said once, if the jiva understands nama vasa, this is this middle stage, no? Between offenses, offensive chanting and pure chanting. When the jiva understands nama vasa, his chanting will be purified and he will cross over the obstacle by virtue of the pure name. So, what is this Namavasa? How does it come about and how do we progress from it? In Harinam Chitani, Haridas Thakur explains it with an analogy. He says, Krishna's name is the sun. It rises in the sky of the consciousness. Imagine your consciousness is like the sky, and the name, when you chant it, the name, it rises. Like in Radhadesh, I think you must have seen when the sun rises in the morning, the very nice image, the sun comes out behind the trees. So the same way when you chant, sit down to chant, then the holy name, the son of the holy name, comes out. But at the same time, something else comes up on this little stage. Internal clouds and fog, which prevent us from seeing it. In the analogy that you come to the temple in the morning, you see the sun is rising. This is a thing which you see often in Belgium, in this part where we are. We call it the Ardennes, isn't it? The Ardennes. We see all of the sun, some cloud coming before the sun. We say, oh no, please don't go, don't come before the sun. Or we see some fog which is coming. So this happens to a person on the middle stage of chanting. He takes the holy name, but something comes in between him and the pure name. These are called the clouds of anattas and the fog or mist of ignorance. The clouds of anattas means you start hankering for illusory things. You chant and you begin to think, oh, I would love to have some sense enjoyment. Oh, I would love to eat some Radha-dish chocolate. I would love to break the principles and so on. Or when you have all of a sudden a weakness of the heart, Pridai Dhulava, you are attached to your own name and fame. I see this very often in young devotees, you know, they become so much interested to be praised by others that they make a show of their chanting. It's so sad when one sees it. It's so sad. This weakness of the heart. And then come aparada, or offenses, which we will hear about in our morning session. So these anattas are like clouds. These hankering for illusory things, these weaknesses of the heart are like clouds, and finally the offenses which block all your spiritual progress. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, or Naharidas Thakur says, Kesa, these anattas cover the sun of Krishna's name, resulting in its becoming a mere semblance of itself. This is not the holy name in its true self-effulgent glory. In other words, if you have these clouds before the holy name of my dear devotees, then you will see only something which looks like the sun. Some light is there, something is there, but it's not the real sun. Then there is also the fog of ignorance. The fog of ignorance is through four things. Do you know what is fog or mist? We also say something. It's like this fine thing which covers the sky, and we can't see very far when there is fog. And when there is a sun, we see it only partially. So, in Bhajana Rahasya, four types of ignorance are given. It is first Svatattva Brahma, that is the ignorance of our own position. We don't know that we are spiritual soul. When we chant, we don't have that identity in our heart. Then there is the ignorance of the position of the Lord, Paratattva. This is a mist, the fog. Then there is the ignorance of the process of bhakti. We don't really know how to perform our sadhana of the holy name. And we also don't know the goal of the bhakti. No, it's not in our mind. We are somehow not tuned in. We don't know who we are. We don't know who the Lord is. We don't know what is the process of bhakti. We don't know what is the goal of the bhakti. When we chant and we want to have the pure name, the Son of Krishna, in our life, then it is really important that we become free of the clouds, that is, these, they're called anatta, and free of the mist, of the fog, of ignorance. This is our work. And in the morning session, my dear devotees, after you have taken your prasada and rested a little bit, so that I can talk a little bit more, you know, details, then you will, we will learn how to become free of the clouds and of the fog in our chanting. But I just wanted to talk this in this class about the need for us to purify our consciousness and our heart. Prabhupada says it so nicely here. He said the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being so that he understands this eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord as a subordinate servant. So he continues, the change of the heart is seen by a gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, not by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the desire to render loving service to Krishna. It's a serious subject. How do you feel about this subject, Manohar?
Very serious.
Very serious. When I had a lecture on this, because this is, you know, the second day, my dear devotees, I'm becoming very, I don't know how to express this to you. I'm becoming extremely soft in my heart, extremely soft. It's very difficult for me to lecture on this subject, because, you know, yes, I know the philosophy, I can tell it. I mean, I don't know it. I can't say I'm a pandit, but I'm now 40 more. I'm so many years in the movement, I don't even want to count the years. It's a long time since I was a little boy, 15 years, you know. But I'm thinking, why don't, after this years, where is the Son of the Holy Name in my life? Why am I not chanting in this way, this the Bhagavad Gita is saying? Why don't I recognize Krishna more? I'm feeling very sad, really, very sad, personally very sad for this. And the answer to this question is that it is due to offenses, you know, the aparadhas, which are part of the anattas. And you know, I have to ask myself the question, your life is now coming to the, you know, I don't want to dramatize it, I'm only 60 years young, but 60 years is no longer 18 years, you know. So I could be a grandpapa if I would have made the choice in my life, you know. I have to ask myself the time, the question, do I want real spiritual life, or do I want to be one of these people in new religious movements who just, you know, who just don't care to understand the real thing, you know. I have to confront this question, and it is troubling to confront this question. What have you done all these years, Ashina Swami? I have to ask this question. Then I don't want to give many lectures as if I know better than you. I feel disappointed and really deep disappointment, Krishna. But I know also that this is most probably the process. That there comes a time in your life where you really see like this. All I have done up till now is not good enough. Krishna, if you don't show me your mercy, I'm lost. It's the point to which this Brahmana came. Who came, just imagine his grief. He was more than 60 years old, he was maybe 80 years. And there he is on the steps of the temple, and the door is closed, and he just goes like, oh Lord, Lord, please give me your mercy. Oh, Vaishnavas, give me your mercy. Do you not see my situation? I can't do it alone. And he was so desperate. And then he came to that stage of really asking for the mercy. Then the Lord personally appeared to him, brought him into a warm cave, gave him some entertainment for the night so that he was peaceful in the night and diverted his mind. What a psychologist the Lord is. And then in the morning helped him to take his bath and then gave his darshan. Krishna consciousness or good kirtan, my dear devotees, has to do a lot with praying. It has to do a lot with becoming real. It has to do a lot with coming out of the shadow spiritual practice and entering the light. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to say. I request you now to turn to your neighbor and discuss with your neighbor what caught your attention in this class. Please do this. I know some of you are a little shy and do not like to talk with neighbors. You're only half. In the end of Haridam Chintamani, Srila Haridas Thakur gives us a very, very good advice how to end this, let us say, this shadow chanting, this shadow spiritual life that we are not really doing the real thing. He says that the original brilliance of the soul is there. You know, we all are devotees by nature. And the fact that you are in the process of Krishna consciousness and attracted shows really that you are a great soul. Krishna considers you as his family member. He considers you to be part of what is called Krishna Samsara. Samsara in this relation doesn't refer to the circle of birth and death. It's family, Krishna's family, or Krishna's family. And to remove now the clouds and the fog which is between us, the ignorance and the anathas, means the wrong activities which we think they're valuable. He says there are three things which help us to bring out our original brilliance. I really hope to get them together. To chant together in the association of devotees. That's the first thing. Yeah, to get them together. Oh, very good. Very good. Like you do in Radhish every evening, I think, since a few years now. That will help you to chant in the association of devotees. The second thing you mentioned is totally opposite to the first thing, is to find a secluded place. In other words, you should also chant when you are, secluded in peace and peace. Of course, I don't really think that all this has to mean we cannot chant together with others. It is a But in Harinam Chintamani, he often actually mentions that it's good to sometimes be alone and just chant alone, because that helps you to do things on your own strength. Just sit in a room, he mentions that we close our eyes so that we then I'm not restless, start putting a cloth around that, but don't do this so that others see you, that is not the idea. I have to speak because there are one or two devotees here who are show devotees, so I need to be careful. But So to chant with others is very important in the association of others. And the second is to chant alone. And then, oh yeah, the third advice he gives is to make a determined effort. You have to be determined. And I want to recommend these three things as guidelines. They are almost like a formula, a spiritual formula. Please be here for the evening kirtans, and those of you who in the course come to Gaurahari's excellent japa workshop. I heard yesterday it was under the cherry tree, isn't it?
No. We found, for those of you who want to come, we found a place close to the tent where we take prasad, just a little bit lower
down the wall. There's a japa session where you can chant for 1 hour. And today we will add a kirtan session to it, an afternoon kirtan session. And then in the evening there's, of course, the Krishna katha. So we will end this class now. Wow, I'm so... I'm already getting drowsy here. My eyes bright on time. I wish you a wonderful second day of your kirtan course here in Radhadesh, and see you all again and again during this program. Hare Krishna.
Solina Sachinandana Swami Maharaj ki. Yeah. Yeah.